Thank you. Thank you for the gift of that beautiful music. It tends my soul on a day like this, on a day where my heart is conflicted, aching from loss 15 years past, and aching from the losses that continue. Breathe in and breathe out. That's what I need to be telling myself on a day like today. But sometimes a different song creeps in. Sometimes a different song. I wonder if you've heard this one before. Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Anyone ever hear that one before? Or maybe just feel the call to choose a side. Breathe in, breathe out, or choose a side. Which way? Which one? There are sides to a box, right? There are sides to this pulpit. There are sides to this piece of paper. There are sides to this room. There are sides to my hand. There's right, there's left, there's front, there's back. There are sides to an issue, right? There are sides. Maybe it depends on how you look at it. A box, a pulpit, a room, it might have sides, but it also has this vast middle ground, this space that collects us all, this room where we can gather. This hand, it might have sides, but look at what happens when this hand merges with another hand. When the hand joins together, the sides mesh, they change, they're transformed. It used to be commonplace to look at gender with a dualistic finality. We're male or we're female. Did our physical nature demand these categories? Not exclusively. Ancient and modern Polynesian and Indian cultures recognize what they call third gender, meaning literally anything in between or of both. But Western culture has been decidedly dualist, and we learn this dualism very early. I had a rabbit that I was taking care of, a rabbit that was injured that came to our house, and I named it Mary Peter. I named it Mary Peter because neither my parents nor I could figure out how to tell the sex of a rabbit. And I named it Mary Peter because I was in Sunday school classes and we were learning about Mary and Peter. And I named it Mary Peter because I felt this strong conviction that I would have to get this rabbit's gender right, that I'd be doing something wrong if I didn't call it the right name. When I was still a maybe middle-aged school child, I accompanied my mom one day into the locker room, and we were both changing in there, and I remember a woman grabbed my mom and pulled her aside and said, "Don't you think your son is a little too old to be in here?" I had short hair. At another time, my school principal tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Young man." I remember these experiences well. I remember them because they stand out. I was trying to build my own sense of identity, figure out who I was, and yet I was seen differently. And that struck me as important, and it stands out in my mind. Categories, they fuel our burgeoning identities. Categories, or sides, might be chosen for us or by us. I remember saying when I was still growing up, "I like to climb trees. I don't paint my nails." That was very important to me. And also, "I'm a jock, not a nerd." Albert, you're laughing back there. Were you on the other side of that coin? As we age, we and others determine who we are, often to the exclusion of who we are not. I remember when I gave up on math class. It was the same time that I was beginning to call myself a poet. Perhaps you've already begun to consider the development of your identity. What sides did you choose? What sides did others choose for you? Maybe you could call out some of those identities. What do you call yourself? Mom, dad? Geek? Other identities out there? 5-year-old?
Oh, chimera.
Oh, chimera. Okay. I was going to say, I don't think you're 5. Yeah, but that would be okay if that was your identity. Other ones? 12. Nice.
A taco?
Yeah. Someone
okay. Who likes anime.
Okay. Ah. Okay. Somebody who likes anime.
Granny.
I hear Grammy. Grammy.
Granny.
Granny.
No, Granny.
Teacher.
A friend.
Friend. All right.
Burger King over McDonald's.
So families with multiple children, they watch as all the independent souls in their brood distinguish themselves from one another. One's the smart one, one's the jock, one's the artist, one's the misfit, and so on. But let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to gender. Gender is not dualistic. The dualism, the sides, they're finally breaking down thanks to science and honestly thanks to a whole bunch of brave kids and adults. At a chemical level, hormones contribute to gender. And we don't have testosterone to the exclusion of estrogen or estrogen to the exclusion of testosterone. We have both in varying degrees, and in some degree, this is always in constant flux, and that's just the chemistry. Indeed, identity is even more fluid. Are we wired to see sides rather than that vast middle ground? In white culture, we call someone black or African American if they have a single drop of black blood. Black culture levies its own categories. There's blue black and chocolate black and red bone and high yellow and so on. My mom's Ashkenazi Jewish heritage makes her olive skinned, but my Crayola crayon box only had one flesh colored crayon, and it was pinkish. There are now whole boxes of rainbow flesh-colored crayons. Bless you, Crayola. But it's still hard for us to see one another without these categories, without the sides, right? It's hard. This is true for heritage. It's also true for partisan division. What does it say about our culture that nearly 40% of Democrats fear that their children will grow up to marry Republicans? And nearly 40% of Republicans fear that their children will grow up to marry Democrats. Fear. Ardent fear. The other side does not simply have wrong ideas. They are wrong. They are demonized. I've done this demonizing. And when I do, I feel a strange sense of righteous safety. Categories and sides, they give us something to stand on. They can also give us something to hide behind. They give us something that makes us feel right, even as it isolates us. Sometimes sides hinder, and sometimes, I'll admit, they serve. How about this one? Black lives matter. All lives matter. I'm not talking about the movement here, just the statements, black lives matter or all lives matter. It's necessary for us to assert that Black Lives Matter, I believe. To do so is to stand with a side, though, right? Or is it deeper than that? Here's the Reverend Nancy MacDonald Ladd's take. She says, when we say save the rainforest, we don't mean that we cease to honor the mighty cedars or the reaching pines. We mean that one particular piece of a deeply sacred whole is more at risk than others, and that this risk, this threat, is worthy of our bravest actions. So it is with Black lives in this country, and the message that Black Lives Matter is necessary so long as this nation effectively functions as if they do not. Labeling the olive, the tan, the auburn brown, the blue brown colored crayon with the title flesh is necessary as long as this nation effectively functions as if these are not valuable flesh tones. Take sides? The answer is yes and. Sometimes taking a side pushes us and others to see that that side is part of the whole, with worth and dignity. Allow me to share two readings that danced around social media this summer. I read both, and I resonated with both, and then with concern realized that they contradicted one another. One was a call to break down sides, and the other a call to pick them up. First, a few lines by the local Muslim and advocate for peace, Saad Yaqub. The entire country will take sides. The simple-minded will take sides with those who share their skin color. The intelligent and conscientious will take sides with the oppressed. The wise will recognize that to win the day for the oppressed, first we must dismantle the narrative of sides. But then from Elie Wiesel, the Holocaust survivor and human rights advocate, may he rest in peace. He says, we must always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. Conflicted? I was. But perhaps there is that convergence, a way to do both, like what Reverend Nancy shared about the rainforest and the cedars. We also have the example of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s righteous love, as well perhaps as the words of the Hebrew prophet Isaiah. Isaiah wrote to a Jewish people torn into two kingdoms and struggling to survive in a desert land surrounded by enemies. This was his counsel. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look, perhaps, he is saying, to that which is far older than your identities, than your categories, than your sides. Look to the unity that is mother and father of us all. Look to that and serve that, even as you recognize sides. We are called, I believe, to stand with the oppressed, to stand with, to side with, those who our nation and our policies have forgotten. But we are called to shake off the silent indifference of neutrality while we are called to do the work for the sake of all. To do the work for the sake of all. And when it comes to our partisan division, you know how hard this is. partisan division, it holds us all captive. Sides, they propel votes. Sides serve parties, but maybe they don't serve our nation, serve our citizens. Partisan division, it's always been American. In the election of 1800, Thomas Jefferson's Republicans suggested that John Adams was a warmonger and a hermaphrodite. Not to be outdone, John Adams' Federalists spread the rumor that Thomas Jefferson was dead. The divide and the bigotry is American. But it doesn't serve America. We, the people from both sides, are equally frustrated with our government, equally concerned that our leaders have forsaken our best interests, but instead of coming together to consider our common concern, we blame them, insert expletive here, for our problems. The next conversation that I enter about politics or about race issues in America, or about gender issues, or any of those contentious issues that we wrestle with, I feel compelled to stand my ground, to choose my side, but I'm also going to consider the ground I'm standing on. What am I trying to accomplish? Am I trying to serve all humanity, or to feel good about myself? I hope I will stand to serve all, speaking from that place of vulnerable love rather than righteous indifference. That's what I hope. May it be so, and amen. Amen.